Well, good morning, fellow survivors of Christmas Day. Who, like me, thinks they might have just eaten a little bit too much across Christmas? Put your hand up. Anyone feel like there's 1 or 2 kilos on board that they need to get rid of before the end of the summer? Put your hand up again. That's right. That's me. We're right there. Now, this morning, we're just going to look briefly at somebody in the Bible, two somebodies, who I bet you've never seen on a Christmas card. Now, I'd be really surprised if you can think of a Christmas carol that includes these people, even though these people saw Jesus before the wise men. They're kind of a bit forgotten in the Christmas story. We're going to have a look at Simeon and Anna this morning. But before we start, I wanted to ask, who's seen some good Christmas lights in your area? Anyone got some good Christmas lights? Fantastic. There's a couple of houses in every suburb that are just going absolutely crazy, aren't they, with lights? There's a lady in my church said her husband put so many lights in their house you could see it from space, she reckoned. And so these are some people who won some prizes for their houses, how many lights they put on. They're pretty amazing and in some cases a little bit extreme. And some characters appear that you're not expecting all the time. You know, I mean, there's Santa, obviously. But Peter Pan, penguins. You know, where were the penguins in the Christmas story? It reminds me of Love Actually, where the child says, "I'm the lobster in the nativity play." You know that line where did that come in? You know? And in some of the ones, not only was Santa on a sleigh, but in some cases Santa's on a seesaw, a bike, or a four-wheel drive. I mean, things have really moved on. So this morning I want to talk to you about some lesser lights of Christmas. Simeon and Anna, who I'd be very surprised if you've ever seen them on a Christmas card, ever heard a carol that includes them, and yet they saw Jesus within 1 week of when he was born, a long time before when the wise men probably came. Okay? So we're going to have a little think about Simeon and Anna. First of all, Simeon. Here's Simeon. Simeon was an old man. He was an old man and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, we're told, waiting for the redemption of God's people. The name Simeon means God has heard. Even his name tells us what he's waiting for, God fulfilling his promise. God has heard. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and we heard that in our first Bible reading, didn't we, from Isaiah. The first two verses of Isaiah 40 said, "Comfort, comfort my people, says the Lord. Speak tenderly, Jerusalem. Proclaim to them, your hard service is completed. Your sin has been paid for, and God has received, Israel has received from the Lord's hand double for her sins." And at the end of that little passage it said, not only is God sending a messenger, it says God himself is coming. It says, "Here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power. He rules with his mighty arm. See, he tends his flock like a shepherd and gathers them like lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young." The Bible tells us, not only was God promising to send someone to save his people, he was actually going to come himself. How good is that? God is with us. Emmanuel. That's the future message, isn't it? God didn't send a courier. God didn't send a prophet. He sent a few of those, but he actually showed up himself. That's the Christmas message, isn't it? So God comes among us. And Simeon meets Joseph and Mary in the temple a week after Jesus is born when they come up to make a small sacrifice in the temple. Joseph and Mary are in the temple courts. Jesus was 8 days old, which in the Jewish tradition was the time when Jesus was presented in the temple and Mary's purification after giving birth takes place.
So both things would have been done at the same time. And Joseph and Mary were too poor to present a lamb. And there was an alternative offering for people who were poor, which was two small pigeons. And that's what they presented. Can you see the irony here for a moment? Joseph and Mary are carrying the Lamb of God, aren't they? They don't have enough money to actually present a lamb in the temple, but they present the Lamb of God in the temple. You see this? Isn't that beautiful? And Jesus himself is the Lamb who will one day redeem all people, all people.
So Simeon meets Joseph and Mary as they're in the temple courts, and he takes Jesus in his arms. For those of you who have been the parents of small children, every now and then there's an older person who just comes up and grabs your kid, you know? And you kind of think, okay. And Simeon was like that. He sees Joseph and Mary in the temple, and he comes up and he takes Jesus in his arms. And he says the most remarkable things. He says, basically, I'm ready to die, because God's promises have been fulfilled. He said, now dismiss your servant in peace, Lord. Dismiss me in peace. I'm ready to die. Because I have seen your promises come to fulfillment. It's wonderful to be ready to die, to be in peace with God. I got a phone call once. Most ministers have this experience three or four times during their ministry. You get a phone call from the hospital, or in some cases, in this case, it was from a nursing home, and the sister rings you and says, there's a man up here who wants to speak to a minister. Okay. So I go up to the War Veterans Village in Colorado Plateau. I used to be a minister at Caravan in the 90s. And Percy was in the nursing home. Percy was an old man, Englishman. And I said, here I am, Percy. What do you want to talk about? And Percy had emphysema. Every breath he breathed in hurt. To talk took a long time. Just to say a normal sentence took a long time. Just every time he breathed in it hurt. Okay? And I'm talking to Percy and I said, you know, what's going on, Percy? What can I do for you? And he said, very slowly, I want peace. And I said, do you mean like peace before you die? Yeah, that's what I want. I want peace before I die. He knew he was dying. And I want peace before I die. And it's quite remarkable. We talked for a little while, given his constraints. And I went back and visited him a second time and took him to the Lord's Supper in the village. And I asked him, would you like to pray for this? And he said, yep. Lord, give me peace and take away my pain. Within a week, he'd gone to be with the Lord. He'd gone to be with the Lord. His prayer was answered. He had peace, and the Lord had taken away his pain. When I talked to Percy a little bit about his life, he said to me, I've lived in Australia for 50 years, but back in England, I had a brother who was a Christian. And he had peace with God. He had peace. And I want that before I die. It's very powerful, isn't it? There's going to be a reunion in heaven between Percy and his very surprised Tommy brother, who hadn't seen him for 50 years, who is going to turn up in heaven and see his brother, who ignored God for 50 years. Okay, that's a long time. God. But when the doctor said to him, mate, you're dying, it's pretty close to the end, he gets on the phone through the sister and says, get that Anglican minister up here. I want to talk about peace before I die. How cool is it when Percy and his brother are going to meet in heaven? How good is that going to be? You're one thing. By the way, be encouraged about witnessing to your relatives, okay? Sometimes if I've been meeting you at you on Christmas Day, and you kind of think, man, are we ever going to get anywhere with these relatives, you know, and them understanding Jesus? What do you think Percy's brother was thinking? How far is my brother from the Lord? You know? And 50 years later,
when push came to shove, he wanted what his brother had. He wanted peace before he died. Isn't that a wonderful story? Wonderful, isn't it? And Simeon had a different kind of thing. God had assured him that he would see the Messiah before he died. And as Jesus comes into the temple, carried by Joseph and Mary, he says to the Lord, I'm ready to die. I have seen the consolation of God's people.
And Simeon tells us a bit more about Jesus than we would have found out otherwise.
Not only is Jesus the consolation of Israel, but Jesus, God's plan, is for all peoples. Hear what Simeon says? He didn't just say what the angel said at Bethlehem, a Savior has been born to you, he is Christ the Lord, he's come to save his people from their sins. That couldn't just be Israel. What does Simeon say? A light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Exactly what Isaiah had said in Isaiah 9. God will honour Galilee of the Gentiles. People who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. Simeon helps us realise that Jesus came not just for Israel, but for all nations. Isn't that good news? Even including Australia. That's good news, isn't it? We're about as far away from Israel as you can be. God's message for Jesus is for all nations. And we see this in the Christmas story, don't we? Who shows up not too long after Simeon and Anna? The wise men, who are foreigners. Foreigners come as some of the first people to worship Jesus. And the very last words in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus says to his disciples, go and take my message to all nations. Go and preach to all nations. This is a message for all nations.
And Christians have always been taking the message of Jesus to all nations. Simeon also says that this will be a sign. He said to Mary, your son will be a sign that will divide people.
Jesus always divides people into groups. He still does today. Some people speak for Jesus, some people speak against Jesus, don't they? And Simeon's words continue to come true, don't they? Many people speak positively about Jesus, not just Christians. Other people speak positively about Jesus, but many people will speak against Jesus. King Herod said that he was a fan of Jesus, didn't he? He said to the wise men, go and worship him and then come back and tell me where he is so I can come and worship too. He sounded like he was in favour of Jesus, but he wasn't really. He wanted to wipe him out. And even today, there are people who want to do the same. Jesus divides our calendar into two, and he divides the human race into two as well, doesn't he? Those who are for him and those who are against him. And it's still true today. In 2019, that's the last time I can say that. And it'll be true in 2020 as well, won't it? So Jesus is salvation for all nations. He's a sign that separates people. And he'll also be a sword. Simeon revealed to Mary that a sword will pierce your own soul too. Simeon's saying that Jesus' coming will include suffering. Suffering for Jesus and suffering for Mary. Jesus will bring salvation to all, but it will be a costly salvation. And it will be achieved through the cross. I don't know if you can see in my picture there, the shadow of the cross over the manger. And even at Jesus' birth, we have the shadow of the cross over his birth, don't we? And that's what Simeon said to Mary, a sword will pierce your soul too. And Jesus was pierced for our transgressions, wasn't he? A sword was pushed into his side by the soldier on the cross, wasn't it? He was pierced for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And Mary, his mother, would experience some of that suffering as well. initially for Mary, some of that suffering was misunderstanding Jesus. At one point early in Jesus' ministry, Mary and Jesus' other brothers come to collect him because they think he's not eating properly. He's being too busy with these crowds. And they come to collect him because they think he's out of his mind. Even at the wedding in Cana in Galilee, Jesus said to Mary, "Woman," he didn't say mother, "woman." It's interesting, kind of helping Mary realize in one sense Jesus was not just her son, Jesus would be her savior. And his relationship to his mother would be different than any son's relationship to a mother. And then finally, on the cross, Jesus looks down and says to John the Apostle, "John, behold your mother. John, behold. Mary, behold your son." And he actually entrusts the care of his mother to John the Apostle at that point. Now there's one other character in this story, Anna, who we're told is a very old lady who's been a widow for a very long period of her life. You might know people in that situation. There's a lady at my church in Miranda. She was 40 when her husband passed away. She's now in her mid-80s. That's a long time to be a widow, isn't it? And Anna was a bit like that. Anna had been a widow for a really long time, but she was a faithful woman, almost never left the temple, praying and waiting upon the Lord, like Simeon, to send the Messiah. And when she sees Jesus, she, like Simeon, comes up to Mary and Joseph, and she's full of thankfulness. Anna's real focus is giving thanks. She gives thanks for Jesus' birth, and like Simeon and the shepherds, she praises God, and she tells others around in the court of the temple about Jesus. How are you going at telling other people about Jesus at the moment? As Christians, it's a bit tough, doesn't it? You know, I think, do my relatives want to hear me talking about this again, or my friends at work? Sometimes it's easier to kind of fly under the radar. You know, they've taken a survey in Sydney that 2/3 of people who live in Sydney don't think they know a Christian. I actually don't think that's true. Because I think they do know a Christian, but they probably know a Christian is not telling them they are a Christian, you know what I mean? They probably work with somebody who's a Christian, but the Christian is kind of keeping it quiet, you know? A guy came up to me after a sermon in church one time and said, "How long after you started a new job should you tell your colleagues that you're a Christian?" And I said, "How long have you been at your job?" And he said, "Oh, a year and a half." I said, "About now, hopefully. Maybe you should have been a bit sooner than now, but, you know." And then he said to me, "I work at Westpac. Who am I meant to tell?" And I said, "Look, it's a big operation. I don't need to tell everyone at Westpac, but at least the guys who work in your area. When you start with the guys, you sit near. That would be the place I'd kind of start with, you know. And just talk to people about your Christian faith and see what happens. Don't fly under the radar. Don't let that statistic of people thinking there's most people, oh, I've never met a Christian. You only hear about them in books or something. Don't fly under the radar. It's not doing." Anna wasn't like that. Even as an old woman, she's gone up to people in this public temple space. It's like a real kind of market area, really. She's going up to people and saying, "Let me tell you about this man who's the saviour of the world." And she is very bold in talking to people. Simeon and Anna were expecting Jesus to come. By the way, most people in the Christian story weren't expecting Jesus to come, were they? The shepherds weren't expecting Jesus to come. Herod wasn't expecting Jesus to come. They were surprised. In fact, most people in the Christian story are surprised. Simeon and Anna are not surprised. They are expecting Jesus to come. They are expecting Jesus to come because they have read Isaiah. They trusted the promises God had made in the Old Testament in many parts of the Old Testament. They're expecting Jesus to come. So, Simeon and Anna help us see Jesus more clearly. Being a former optometrist, I always never lose a chance to put another eye chart up on the wall, okay? But Jesus
Can anyone read that for me?
Joel's doing okay. What about your wife without a reading glass? Did you do that? She's got the long distance. It's okay.
It's okay. Jesus gives us true light and sight. Foresight. Well done. Okay. Now, the other thing Simeon and Anna do for us is they help us to be thankful. So what did I say? Simeon and Anna, you don't see them on any Christmas cards. They're not mentioned in Christmas carols, despite the fact they saw Jesus before the wise men. Actually, there's one Christmas carol that does pick up the ideas of Simeon. Well, we're going to play it right now. Beautifully captures the content of Simeon's song. I grew up in the Methodist Church, and Charles Wesley and his brother John wrote a hymn for almost every verse in the Bible. And we're going to listen to one of the carols that many of you might know, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. And it's right on theme with Simeon's words. Now, let's see if this works.